I have hope in the world because Jesus calls us to go further. I have hope in the world around us and the decisions that can be made because Jesus says there's extra that can still come. That there is more love that can be given in the world. There is more grace that can be given in the world. There is newness that can be had. Not just the same old, but something new and different that we never saw coming. And that is where hope in God lies. Then we begin to see that the way that the shepherd operates, leaving the 99 behind and going to find the one that was lost, is no longer a crazy way to think, but a good way of living. Love does not calculate if we've got enough. There's 99 sheep in the pen, that's enough, one's gone missing, we will leave it. Love rather says, I see that one is missing and I must go and chase it in order to find it. The shepherd must go looking for the sheep that is not there. This isn't always good news for everyone. The religious leaders of the day knew that there was something in that that was dangerous for them. The leaders of today's world know that there is something dangerous in overlooking something that's gone wrong. There is something dangerous in overlooking the one that has gone missing. There is something dangerous for the leaders of our world today, for people who hold on to power, when we say that we must go out in love and seek something which is broken so that it can be repaired. And in Jesus, they saw that danger. Because Jesus is saying to the people around him that he was free. Jesus was free to forgive anyone before they came to him asking for forgiveness. Many times we see Jesus healing where he goes into a place. He'll go into the temple gates and he will see that there are people who need healing there. And he won't wait for them to come to him to say, I need healing, Jesus. He will see them and heal them first. We see when Jesus heals the 10 lepers that only one comes back to give thanks and praise. The others go off. And does that mean that he takes away his blessing and says to them, that blessing is no longer yours, you didn't come back and say thank you? No, the blessing remains, the healing remains. Jesus is free to forgive and heal anyone before they ask. The religious leaders, the temple leaders, they wanted you to come with your offering and tithe, to bow low and to say to them, they are the only ones who can bring healing and bring God's grace into this world. And Jesus says, no, he is free to go wherever he wants. Jesus is free to sit at the table of sinners and outcasts, whereas the religious leaders are not free. They are not able to go and sit at a table with somebody who is a sinner because they will be seen as unclean. They do not have the freedom that Jesus has. Jesus is free to welcome the outsider, and we even know that Jesus went into towns and places that were not in Israel. He went to the outskirts, the places that good Jewish people would not go to. He is free to go there, where the religious leaders are not free. And this is the freedom that Jesus calls each one of us into. Jesus describes this freedom in this way. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. To go to the places that nobody else would go to. To give grace and love in places that everybody else said, I cannot go there because it will make me unclean. Jesus is free in a way that the religious people are not. And that's the freedom that Jesus calls each one of us into. To say we have that same freedom of Jesus. Not to tick the box and to say I'm doing just what the law requires. I'm in the safe place. But rather to step out, to go beyond, and as Jesus always does, to go further than we expect, to bring new hope into the world because of it. And this is exactly what the religious leaders of the day were afraid of. That if everybody said, we are going to love freely, we are going to bring healing where healing needs to take place, not just where you say it can take place, not just because you have given us sanction to do it, but rather we are going to go to the places that need it. I have come to seek and save the lost. Where there are lost people, we will do everything we can to bring grace and hope. Where there is hunger, we will feed. Where there are people who are outcast, we will go to them. Because once grace appears, the categories that we place people into start to break away. And I'm able to see somebody not just for what I think is good in them, but I'm able to see what God sees as good in them. I'm able to see what God sees in those people, and it can change. When grace appears, when Jesus comes, the world around us begins to change. And the cross reveals this most clearly. Our human ways of doing things often depend on punishment. Someone must pay. Someone must be excluded. Someone must be blamed. There has to be a reason for this, and it's not me, it's somebody else. And many ways that our world works is exactly like that. We want to blame somebody. We want there to be a reason. But when the cross comes, God does something radically different. God says, yes, there must be a way in which we see something has gone wrong and we fix it. But there must be more. There must be something else also. And instead of standing above the human suffering, instead of standing outside of humanity and standing from the outside and God pointing in and saying, you humans must fix this. Instead of that, Jesus enters into our world as a human. Instead of standing outside and saying, you sinners, I'm going to kill you all, and we're finished. Jesus comes into our world, lives as a human being, experiences what it means to live in this world, and then goes to the cross and bears the human tragedy, bears the human pain. God allows God's self to be punished. God allows God's self to be pushed onto the cross. And that sounds like craziness to everybody around us. If you speak to anybody in business and you say, take all your profits and lose them and continue doing it, they will say to you, there's no way you can continue like that. God operates differently. Comes into our world, loses everything. Even down to the dignity that Jesus had on the cross. Even down to the family that he had around him, they all leave and move away. Even down to his best friends who he believed would never leave him. They fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the foot of the cross, only his mother and Mary remain. Everybody else pushes him aside. And so God allows God's self to be pushed out of the world and onto the cross. And the suffering of Christ becomes the suffering of God. Remember, what happens to Jesus happens to God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. And so Jesus on the cross is God on the cross. But it doesn't end there. Through that moment, God says that instead of holding the system up, instead of being the one who takes that punishment and leaves it, God transforms it. Christ is raised, brought back to life again afterwards, and something else happens. It's not just the fulfilling of the law that somebody needs to be punished for the sin. Jesus takes it a step further, as Jesus always does, and brings something new into the world. Instead of just death, there is now resurrection. Instead of our hopes dying on the cross, our hopes are raised on the cross. And something extra is brought into our world, and it's the hope that we have today, that death isn't the final word. O cross, where is your sting? O death, you do not end me. Something else must come because of it. And so, instead of enforcing the system of violence, God absorbs the violence. God takes the violence on God's self. And on the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And out of that, Jesus brings something extra into the world. Not punishment, but resurrection and restoration. Jesus brings something new. The deep invitation for each of us today is to learn the way of the shepherd. The world around us will continue to say, "Leave that one. Leave it." I told the story earlier of if you went to a shoe shop and you wanted to buy shoes and they said, "We've lost one of the shoes, pairs of shoes in the back room and we've closed the front door." You would bang your hand on the door and say, "Let me in. That's silly." Now change that around. Imagine it was a jewelry store. Imagine they've got millions of rands of stock in their store. And they've closed the doors and you knock on the door and the man with a gun, because you've seen the man with a gun there at the jewelry store before. And he says to you, "I'm the security and I'm not letting you in." You will say, "But why?" And he'll say, "No, there was a ring with a very expensive diamond. It's worth 2 million rand. We've lost it. It's in the shop somewhere. We don't know where, but we've lost it." You'll say, "Okay, I understand why your doors are closed." You won't bang on the door. You won't try to go inside, because inside they are searching for that ring. Jesus tells another parable of the woman who loses her coin and she searches the whole house to find it. The reminder is that the coin is valuable. And because of the value of the coin, we will put everything aside and go looking for it. And the same is true for each one of us. We need to view ourselves as valuable, as those who God looks at in the world as valuable. And it's easy to say for a pair of shoes, "That's silly, you've lost your stock in the back, not my problem." But when we see the value of what has been lost, we will say, "Yes, everybody inside the shop needs to put down what they're doing and search for that ring." And when we see somebody else in the world as valuable, just like Jesus did, he said each human being is valuable enough to go to the cross, to absorb the violence of human beings in order to bring something new. If we follow the way of the shepherd and we say, "Something valuable has been lost when any person in this world is moving away from God, is living in a way that is not good for them. They are living in a way which has stripped dignity, has stripped life." And we say, "I need to go and do everything I can to rescue that person," like the shepherd did, then we live in God's way. Because it helps us to see the value of who's there. We might think, one sheep is not enough. The shepherd would have known each of those 100 sheep by name, would have been able to pick them out in the flock of sheep from a distance, and would say, that sheep is valuable. I'm leaving my 99 so that I can go and find the one sheep that I know by name and rescue them. It is not okay to leave them to wander away. That's where we begin to see the way that God operates in our world. It gives me hope. Because when God looks at me, God doesn't see one sheep that's wandered off and says, I've still got 99 more. God sees me, knows my heart, knows the world that I live in, knows the value that I have, and is able to say, I love you and I will rescue you. And each of us has the same in our own lives. We are seen by God. Can I tell you today, you are loved by God, you are seen by God, you are held by God. Do you believe that? We say it with our lips, but many times we don't live it with our lives. We do the opposite. We say, God can't love me. God can't hold on to me. God cannot see value in me. First, we need to see ourselves as valued by God. Then, we are able to see others as valued by God. When you look at other people in the world, do you say God loves them, God values them, God holds them? We say it with our lips, it's difficult to live in our lives. But that is exactly what the shepherd does. He recognizes the value of the sheep. And he says that all my sheep are valuable and loved. God's way is always about restoration, not reward. God's way is always about healing and bringing people back together, not punishment. Jesus didn't tell the parable where the shepherd says, ah, that stupid sheep has gone again. Now I must go and find it. Jesus doesn't tell the parable where the shepherd says, I'll look in the morning when it's light. I will go now. I will go right now to find that sheep. And for each of us, the same is true. No matter what we do, we cannot go away from God because God will always seek us. God doesn't say tomorrow. God doesn't say, ah, that stupid Brett, he's done it again. He sinned again. And now I'm going to push him aside. Every single time, God's grace is open and available to me and made new. Same for each one of us. So we need to start looking at the world the way that the shepherd looks at the world. And to say there is hope because God will always chase us down. God will always look for us. If the gospel of Christ teaches us anything, it is this. God sees the world differently to us. Too easily do we get into the way of the thinking of this world, of the people around us, the way of power, the way of control, and the way of pushing others down so that I can raise myself up. God thinks differently. To us, 99 out of 100 looks like success. To God, God notices the one who is missing. And so the shepherd goes searching. And if you've ever been that one sheep, then these may be the most comforting words that Jesus ever spoke. In John 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God is chasing you. Do you know that God is chasing you? God is offering freedom to you in a way that the world around us, who control the world, is not offering freedom. God is offering each one of us hope in saying that fulfilling the law is not enough. You must go beyond the law and do more than you ever could have expected. God is saying to us through these parables, through these scriptures that we've read today, that every single person matters. Nobody is left out. The lost are always looked for, and love refuses to stop searching for each one of us. Amen.